You are about to receive messages that may be harmful to your mental state. Your sense of reality will be questioned. Your view on things will be altered. You are now part of the meta. The meta controls everything. The meta determines what will and will not happen. You are watching the Meta Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Meta Show. It is Saturday, so that means it's the Meta Show. I'm joined, as always, by the Mitani.
Hello, hello. And if I look confused, it's because a hype train apparently has just started on the channel, which is a new thing that our producers were telling me about the other day. So apparently Twitch has just added this, and if a whole bunch of people like subscribe or gift or throw money at the channel, basically something happens. I'm not entirely sure on what that is. So if things start going crazy on the channel because people are throwing money at the screen in the middle of Brisk and I's like morning diatribes, and oh Jesus Christ, I shouldn't have said anything. What the hell just happened? What the fuck?
Here we go.
Sidith gifted 10 tier one subs. 20 of the Jesus Christ, dude. There's like confetti and shit happening. So that's cool. Basically Twitch is gamifying things. We're going to try to go through the normal course of the show, but this has been interrupted by the hype train, which I guess is a cool thing. So, let's just sort of expect that. Brisk, take it away. What do we got?
All right. So the show this week is going to be interesting. We got a couple of topics we want to go over, but the first thing we want to do is get our rants out of the way. And at least my rant for this week is going to be about communication. Now, it's 2020. I'm happy we made it this far. The game is in its third decade. Last year, as many of you might have thought, was kind of a tough year when it comes to communications from CCP. We know that we had a lot of changeover in the community team. We lost CCP Guard, we lost CCP Falcon. The team was focused on doing the EVE World Tour, so there was not a lot of real effort and energy available to be able to do a lot of communications with the players. And I think a lot of players complained a lot about that. And then we also saw some major changes to the game that had impacts on how people feel about it. The loss of the AT, what happened to me, other things in that regard that kind of gave the company a little bit of a black eye when it came to relations with the community. It's 2020, it's a new year, it's January. Now is the time for change, good change, the type of change that we want to see, which is, I think, more communication and more transparency from the company, especially when it's coming to major changes in the game. So, why am I ranting about this? Well, so far, we've seen one good post from CCP Convict on Reddit that asked, how do you feel about EVE? And he got a ton of feedback. That's the kind of thing that I think we need to be seeing more often, and I was very pleased that he did that. Now, I know that there were some players that were complaining that he did it on Reddit when he should have done it on the EVE Online official forums, or he should have done it in some other format, but the reality is CCP needs to use every format that they've got, but they need to do it in a consistent way. So, for example, that Reddit post easily could have been cross-linked. It easily could have been put into a dev blog that went up on the launcher. It could easily have been put on a forum post. It could easily have been tweeted out on Twitter to get the most number of eyes from the various ways that we all communicate with each other so that people can see it. I urge them to do that because right now it's very fractured and it's very difficult for those of us who are news aggregators, even going to Total Eve or some of the other sites that exist for that, trying to find out everything that's happening in the game becomes very difficult when there's no set, formal, easy-to-realize way to find news. And I think that's something that needs to get changed. So I'm hoping that's one thing that we can get more from CCP this year is consistent communication across a variety of formats, but also that all the information ends up in the same place. And the other thing that drives me crazy, the last dev blog about the quadrants. If you guys saw that, and I should link it in the chat, but I'm too busy waving my hands to do that. If you saw the last thing about quadrants, it had information about quadrant. We're switching to quadrant-based development announcements. So that means there'll be four in the year, one every quarter, and we're going to have a theme, and everything that happens in the game is going to be based around the theme for that quadrant. Okay, great. But they didn't tell us anything about this month's release, which is supposed to happen next week, and it's Saturday. And the release normally would happen on a Tuesday. It's supposedly going to happen on Thursday this time. We still don't know what's in it. We have a name. We have no idea what else is out there. We haven't had a chance to test it. They took CC offline, so there's nobody's going to have any idea what's in this thing until it drops, assuming that they leave CC down. So I guess I'm getting a little frustrated, especially coming from the perspective of someone like me and Mittens, who are here trying to provide a show that provides news and commentary to the community. If we don't know what's happening, then we can't help do that. And that kind of frustrates me. So I don't like having stuff dropped at the last minute unless there is a really good reason to do that. And then just explain that there's a reason to do that. Just say, hey, this is going to have a massive impact on the economy, so we're not going to drop it till today so nobody can game the thing ahead of time. That's fair. I can understand that. But they're not saying that. They're not saying anything. So hopefully 2020 we can kind of get a little bit more of an uptick in communication, because frankly, for what I'm seeing right now, we're kind of still in the old 2019 mindset, and I'd like to get away from that. That's my rant, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and riff on that for a little bit. You know, one of the things that's interesting, if you've been playing EVE for several years, is we have seen a number of dev blogs like the Quadrant blog before. Everything that's old is new again. Like they, back in the day, CCB would have a couple of expansions a year. They do a summer expansion, they do a winter expansion, and then they shifted away from that. And during Seagull's tenure, there was this whole thing about how they're going to be shifting to a faster release cycle, and they did that for a little bit and realized it was completely destroying their staff in terms of burnout. And then they backed off that, and now here's another dev blog talking about how they're going to be releasing things. And, you know, at a certain level, like, you know, I actually don't really care to hear about the latest, like, release cycle. Just, you know, keep that behind a curtain and just release stuff that works. But whatever, we'll see. Maybe 4 a year will be a happy medium, where 2 a year was not, and 6 a year was too much. So maybe that's the Goldilocks zone. We'll find out. The issue that I have going into the Mittens segment of the rant, we almost didn't do this show, right? This show almost did not happen. We got together in a production meeting with our producers, who did not get shout outs for, we have like a credit role that we're intending to have for like subscribers and for, producers and people who are helping out with all the aspects of the show. And we're getting together at a meeting on Thursday, and we almost ended up canceling the show because we don't want to do a meta show for you guys if we are just like scraping the bottom of the fucking barrel looking for something to talk about. And I was like, okay, well, look, maybe we don't have anything. You know, the war in the North isn't really going anywhere. Like there's some stuff happening, but it's not really like exciting news or an interesting discussion. We batted around the ideas of having various guests on. And I was like, okay, well, look, why don't we, you know, We'll put this on the burner. I'm going to go to the INN senior staff meeting, and we'll talk to the editors and talk to Reaver and see if there's, you know, if on the INN side we have something that we can talk about. And the theme of today's discussion in this episode is actually that it turns out there is something, and there is something that is very big and that is going on, but it looks like nothing. The absence itself is a presence. And one of the things that became revealed when I was talking to Reaver, and this is why we have her on as a guest, and she's going to be on in a few moments as we go into that segment, is that essentially the fundamentals of EVE are such that it looks like a lot of people are engaged now compared to where they were during the worst aspects of the blackouts and grifters. But we have a bunch of charts and a bunch of numbers that actually show that what we're going through in EVE is the situation. It's kind of like after Lehman Brothers went under in 08. It's the Great Recession or the jobless recovery, where, you know, people are back in EVE Online doing stuff, and that's good. But it's not really the kind of very sticky, heavily engaged war kind of stuff. Like there are wars, there's conflicts, bishops are blowing up, but it's not at the level of like what we would call normal pre-blackout EVE Online. And there's actual data for this. There's proof of it. It's not just a, oh, hey, nothing's going on, we're bored, whatever. If you actually look at it, there is a serious issue. The economy and the engagement of the player base is slowly recovering, but the idea that we are out of the woods and that everything is hunky-fucking-dory is bullshit. So I think this is a truth that exists in an area that a lot of the warmongers like myself don't normally look into, right? Like if I hear things about like moon rental systems or corp recruitment systems or basically anything that doesn't involve war, espionage, or murder in space, my eyes glaze over. I have a very short attention span. So this is the kind of thing I think where this has been happening to EVE Online. It hasn't really been discussed much because people are happy that the blackout is over. But if you look at some of these fundamentals, we don't actually have a consumer confidence index in EVE, but we do have a consumer price index, which can sort of crib for that. And we're still basically like 40% below where we as a player base and as a community should be. It's good to see the PCUs going up. But if you're wondering, like, you know, what's going on in EVE, things seem a little weird or a little half-assed. It's like people are in the pool, but they're not swimming yet. It turns out that that is a real thing. It's not just a weird feeling. It's not just a sense that something's a little off. There's actual data to back it up. So I'm excited to have that because it bothers me when I'm bothered about something, but I don't know why I'm bothered or I don't have a framework. I don't have a thing that I can point to and say, like, you know, that is what is going on. It kind of drives me crazy. And it was sort of a relief in a lot of ways to find out, oh, hey, look at the Plex volume. You know, people are simply not playing as much. People are not producing as much. You know, things are better, but we're not out of the woods yet. So when we bring Reaver on here in a few moments, one of the things that I want is I'm not very good when it comes to economic stuff. I'm not very good when it comes to a lot of things in this game. And this is an area that I think is important, but I'm not going to know the right questions to ask. I'm going to do my best. So guys who are in chat and stuff like this, please do as Reaver, as we try to ask her questions about things and we have a bunch of charts and graphs to explain things, please feel free to ask questions in chat and we will relay those because this is outside of my area of expertise. And as you know, this is one of the challenges we have. Actually, Guy Chai here in chat has a pretty reasonable criticism of me, which is, you know, Mittens is complaining about how EVE is stagnant and yet not fully deploying Goon somewhere, lol. And the reality is that nobody's really fully deployed anywhere. There is a slap fight that's happening in the Galactic Northwest, but you know, the whole Vili and Pro-God versus Sword thing, it was never really going to be a huge deal to begin with, as much as we wanted it to be a big deal. But that's already sort of fizzled because you can't really deploy diagonally across the chessboard because of the way that the geography of EVE Online works. And, you know, that is one of the reasons why we're happy with things like Team Talos. We're delighted to get these 2-week release cycles. And my first fear when I saw the Quadrant blog was, oh God, if they're going to a quarterly release cycle, does this mean they're not doing Team Talos? Well, apparently they are still doing Team Talos, so that's good. But, you know, it's sort of the situation we're in. And I think if we look under the hood about what's going on galactically, not, oh my God, goons aren't deploying, but not just goons, let's see what the Plex volume is for all of the game and what does that mean for all of the game. But yeah,
so if I could jump in on your point ahead. There, I mean, one of the things I would say, guys, if you're sitting around waiting for goons to do something, you're doing it wrong. Because the reality is, unless there's a massive coalition fight happening and goons goes to fight there, all I hear every time I see anything in regards to what are goons doing, it's people complaining, oh, the goons are here now, so now we can't have any more fun. So there's nothing stopping any groups from going out and fighting with each other. And yeah, there's going to be some third partying and stuff. But if you really think, if you really want, it would be like, you know, complaining when the U.S. steps in and ends a war in 5 seconds because it's over. You know, as soon as we get there, that is why do you want the big guys? If you guys are enjoying fighting and you want to fight and you want to create content and you want to go out and do that stuff, why do you want to throw a wet blanket over it? And we have the biggest wet blanket in the game. We come and we drop on everybody and stuff just stops. So, I mean, come on, that argument to me drives me crazy. If there's a reason, and plus we've talked about this multiple times in the last couple shows, if there's a reason to fight, then yeah, we'll go fight. Everybody's going to go fight. Everybody wants to fight. What are the reasons?
Also, just sort of getting in here, I think I got to sort of change my attitude. Like, I've sort of accepted this frame from people in chat and, you know, just random pubbies saying, you know, well, why haven't goons deployed? How haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? You know, why are we obligated to be the ones who are constantly deploying? Like, when was the last time that somebody actually, like, invaded Delph? Everybody's like, oh, my God, like, goons should deploy. Well, you know, I would be delighted to have some of the kind of content that Sort Dragon has delivered to his doorstep every, you know, Sort never has to worry about, you know, where is he going to go to entertain his guys, because people are always invading and attacking dead Coalition Guardians of the Galaxy in the Galactic Northwest. You know, why isn't the Imperium deploying? Why isn't anybody doing this? Well, you know, the same goes, why don't the other blocks attack us? And once you start looking at it that way, you realize that, wait a second, nobody is really full committing to deployment. And there's something a little bit more fucked up in the fundamentals. So maybe I should stop reacting to that. Oh, well, you know, it's a reasonable question as to why we haven't deployed. It was actually say, you know, motherfuckers, bring it, right? Sword Dragon did the whole bring it thing on the meta show, and that worked out pretty well for him a couple weeks ago, because he got, you know, Legacy to come and, you know, give him something to do for a couple weeks. And, you know, maybe I have the wrong attitude about these things. I don't know.
Look, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, it takes two to tango when it comes to wars. And if you don't like the fact that one group is not starting the war, then you go start one. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's nothing stopping anybody from doing it. And there's plenty of people who rely on Delve as their main content. You know, and whether that's Goons PvE and mining, or if that's, you know, Olmeca and his guys out there wailing, or you know, Peniff and those guys would love to drop on anything. I mean, when it comes down to it, there are plenty of places where you can get content if you're looking for it. But these big wars, the ones that I want, they require more than just one big group saying, all right, we're going to go slap these guys around for nothing. There has to be a reason. Otherwise, it just peters out. I think that's what we're seeing in the North now. I think after reflecting on it, Villy and Progod and the guys are like, well, is it really reasonable for us to think that we can destroy Sword Dragon's, you know, coalition and end up with him not on the CSM if we just go to war with them? And I think they're realizing, well, not really. And they don't really want to go through the efforts of moving their whole super fleet north, and they have to go through in it to get there. And they're getting some good fights with us, but they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing if they want to win this war. And elections are coming up in 6 months. So, hey, you know, it seems like they're starting to pull back. That's the thing. If there's no real rational reasons, if there's no real, like, blood fights that people are mad about that sustain you through the boredom and the tediousy of some of the things that you have to do to win a war in Eve now, then you're not going to do it. But that's for a different show. Anyway. Well, what we want to do now at this point is, let's get started. The top story of the day is going to be, what's going on?
What is this?
And we'd like to welcome Riv to the show. Thank you for being here. We appreciate having you here. We know you are a very hot commodity, but very hard to get. So we're very happy to be here.
Okay, I just want to say before I dive into talking about the graphs and stuff that there's been a lot of talk in the chat and on the show about goons should go and do stuff. You know, the Nullsec thing, it's down to the Nullsec guys. I just want to say that the issues that occurred in Eve over the summer and are just recovering now, it was not just Nullsec. In HiSec, mission payouts were down 20% during the blackout period. In LowSec, every region in LowSec saw a drop in activity. So it's not quite as simple as goons aren't doing anything. Why don't they go and make some content? Because it was across the entirety of Eve.
Exactly. And I think, you know, as Mittens was saying, you know, during the INN meeting that they had yesterday, essentially, we were trying to figure out what to talk about. I was not there. Mittens and the guys were there. And we came to the basic conclusion was that despite the fact that it seems like things are going better, we're still kind of in a malaise that has lasted since the blackout and has not really gone away. And Riv had a lot of data that she put together and looked at that basically demonstrates that despite the fact that things seem to be moving up, at least in terms of player counts, as Mitten said, we're not where we need to be. We're not where we were this time last year. And it's interesting to see that despite, you know, what we think is going on, maybe it's not as healthy as it really is. So go ahead, Riv.
Yeah, there is a increase in in the players in the PCU that we've seen. And there is, obviously, as everyone who's playing EVE can see, there is more people about and there is more trade happening and more market stuff happening. But when you look at the numbers, we're back to June or July values. So in the middle of winter, we're looking at a summer values. And as everyone knows, the summer in EVE is the deadest point. So it is good that we are like 5,000 players higher on the PCU. But this just puts us back where we were in June, just before the blackout happened.
Yeah, that actually lines up with a couple of different NullSec data systems that we have. So, you know, I think a lot of NullSec entities have dashboards to manage their finances. And if you don't, I guess this is getting like a bunch of weird, like Imperium stuff. But, you know, we saw reflected in terms of the NullSec stuff that we are about 40% below where we were before all the Blackout and Drifter shit started, right? And that's based upon like player activities, because when we are pulling in income and resources and stuff, these are tied to things like broker fees and 1DQ1, which are a general measure of player activity. So where this shit kicked off as like, whoa, this is a thing and it needs a name. And Rivra made the example of, actually, how the hell am I supposed to pronounce your name? Is it Brisk and I are calling you two different things. What's the official way to pronounce your name?
It's Rivra.
Rivra. Okay, right. Good. So anyway, I was wondering whether there was something like the equivalent of a consumer confidence index for EVE Online, right? Like if you wanted to have a consumer confidence index in space, right? How would that work? And I don't know a damn thing about how consumer confidence indexes are actually generated in real world economics. But then Rivra had mentioned that if you just look at like Plex volume and stuff like that, you again see in the heart of EVE, i.e. in HiSec and not in these like NullSec Empire dashboards about our particular alliance finances, that these sort of fundamentals are just drastically off. And I don't know if this is a thing where we can like bring up one of the charts on this. Actually, I know that before the show, Rivra had given Brisk a whole bunch of charts. And Brisk,
I've got them all ready to go, so you tell me the
one. We're not techie guys, so yeah. Rivra, why don't you... Let's start at what do you think, Rivra, would be the most impactful... if you're going to look at one chart, here is the chart for, oh shit, things are not okay. What should we lead with?
I would bring up the Plex volume traded.
Okay. Let's see if we can do that.
It's up.
Sweet.
Okay. So what this shows is the average Plex traded through the Forge per day in JITA. And you can see it's JITA and the perimeter place primarily is where you trade those things. And you can see that just after the blackout, it's not in July or August, it's September and October. It goes below a million units traded per day, which I've never seen in the time I've been trading since they brought in the 500 Plex. You know, when they made the micro Plex, then we have, it's always over a million units per day. And at the end of August, it dropped below a million units per day and it stayed there. And it's, you can see that in September and October, there was under 800,000 units a day traded in JITA, which compared to pre-blackout numbers, you're looking at a 50% drop in Plex traded. It started to come up, and December is a month where there was a logging campaign, there was a Plex sale, and it's the holiday period. So I'm expecting, you would expect December to be higher. You can see that January so far is still below last January's by about 200,000 units per day, but it is picking up. And it's this graph that made me use the Lehman Brothers comparison when I spoke to you yesterday, because people kept telling me that, you know, there's lots of players back in EVE now. And my view is that it had to get better after September, October, because if it had carried on going down, then there would have been nothing there in a month or two.
That is something else. All right, let's get our pretty faces back there on the main screen. Yeah, that is just, it's really alarming. It's not like, oh my God, everything is on fire alarming like it was during the blackout thing. But one of the things that we have seen, there's a disconnect between what we see like Hilmar saying in the interviews and things like that. And what we're seeing, the sort of ground truth of playing EVE Online in, you know, January 2020, which is this, you know, it is true that there is this influx of Korean players, which is cool and good, and we want to see that. It is true that the G-Star backed marketing campaign to create a Korean player base was a success, and we want to see more of that, and that this is cool and good. But I think that there has been a, and it's not a surprise, this is normal, like a corporate cleanup after a big fuck up, right? And Blackout and the Drifters were big fuck ups. And so now they're going to try to recontextualize them as cool and good, actually, and not actually a fuck up, right? And we've seen some of this from the communications from the CCP higher ups. And what these charts are actually showing us is that, yeah, actually, if you as a player have this kind of something is fundamentally wrong feeling, like it's not all right yet, you know, I think it's important for people to know about this such that they aren't just like pointing fingers and saying, well, kind of like what we were saying at the start of the show. And when somebody in chat is saying, well, why aren't goons deploying, or why aren't people doing this, or why isn't this NullSec entity doing this, or why aren't these guys doing something or other, or, oh, it's super cap umbrellas, or, oh, it's this, or, oh, it's that. And unfortunately, this is like one of these issues where Plex volume is a fundamental aspect of all of EVE Online. It touches everyone who plays the game. And it's not something that can be pinned on one particular aspect or one particular playstyle. It doesn't mean that everything is on fire. I think that it's safe to say that these charts are going up and things are recovering, and that is good. But I think it's also critically important for people to realize that we are apparently in a great recession, and that things are still slowly recovering, and that we shouldn't have expectations that suddenly everything's fucking like hunky dory in EVE Online. One other thing beyond that, it's like, okay, so we've got the Plex volume issue. What's actually happening in terms of like spaceships being produced? I know, Revro, you had a whole bunch of production going on before the blackout. I know that you're friends with a bunch of producers in HiSec and around. Beyond the Plex stuff, what's actually happening in terms of the fundamentals, in terms of spaceships being created and spaceships being blown up?
Well, as you said, I'm friends with a load of HiSec producers and LowSec producers. And what happened around the blackout is that they started not being able to sell their products. So they stopped doing their industry because the prices drop when there's an oversupply on the market. And so they temporarily got out of industry, which meant that, yeah, that these players didn't have anything that they were playing for anymore. They have now started coming back the last month or so. And I've heard this from people in NullSec as well, that basically they stopped building for a period because it wasn't worth their time, you know, building the things and putting them on the market because they weren't getting sold. So they are coming back, but it's slow, and it's a wait and see thing at the moment. Like trade volumes went down across the board by 20% in June to July, and then July to August, and then August to September. So
what does that mean? 20%? I mean, does that functionally mean that there's just like 20% less people playing the game, or the people are playing the game and they're just not like engaging and like. So Brisk has brought up the trade chart here, and yikes, that is, so yeah, we can see from the tail end of this trade chart that's up on the screen, September, October, November, things are beginning to recover. But if you compare that all the way back to July, which is our like, you know, June, July blackout sort of baseline, yikes, again, things are improving. But if you look, it's not just the Plex volumes. You can see that we are very much not out of the woods yet.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what worries me is that, you know, the amount of time that it is taking for us to get back to baseline from pre-blackout, I think is a little longer than I expected it. I would have expected that things would have pretty much bounced back October, November, December, so that, you know, we're in the middle of winter. This is the busy time. I mean, if you look back, and we were talking about this the other day, you look back on a lot of the major fights, the big fights like BTEC R and the rest of these fights that really got everybody going, those wars were ongoing January, February, March part of the year. This is when the big stuff is happening. Even last year around this time, there was still some fighting going on. I still think we're still lagging. We're still trying to get people to come back after the blackout. And then we also had, obviously, there were a lot of people that love the blackout that got pissed and have left since then. So the numbers are just not, it seems very soft. And that, I think that's the biggest concern that I have from what we're seeing here, is that all of this is very soft. And I get concerned that if we do not have something major going on in the next couple months, whether that's something the CCP does that gets people to come back to the game, or something that we do in the game to get people interested again, that the numbers are going to stay soft and they're just going to start melting again.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I think is good here that we can see, for example, in the trade chart is my biggest concern is not, oh my God, the game is screwed. I think that actually at this point, one of the reasons why I decided I wanted to do this show instead of saying, hey guys, we have nothing and let's just, you know, we'll see if there's something next week, is that I think that if people have frameworks to understand things, it gets easier to deal with uncertainty and concern. So for example, if we are playing Eve and things seem a little off and our intuitions are basically telling us that something's a little wrong, but we don't actually have a framework to say, hey, this is what happened, we're in a slow recovery period, things are not hunky-dory, you can go, okay, things are getting better, but we're not there yet, and set your expectations accordingly. I think it's actually kind of dangerous to be in a situation in Eve where you have these communications from the top of the company implying like everything is, you know, peachy keen and the fundamentals are off. And if instead we go, okay, the company fucked up badly with the whole Blackout Drifters thing, things are now getting better, it's just slower than we would want, then that's less scary than like, nobody's playing, Plexus down, what's going on, it's random Noblox fault, or it's, you know, the game is actually screwed. The game is getting better, it is recovering, and I think it'll recover better if everybody understands that it is actually getting better, but that it is a slow recovery because the whole blackout thing was way worse, way, way worse in terms of the health of EVE Online than possibly even the Incarna crisis. Like I would actually have to see behind the curtain to be able to see their subscription numbers. Incarna was like a huge fuck up, but Incarna, people did come back to the game after Incarna once they sort of did a mea maxima culpa and apologized for it. Blackout is something that did a similar level of damage to the player base in terms of its activity and needs to be understood in terms of an event like the Incarna crisis. And you know, things are getting better, but people need to know what's going on. Rebro, what else is interesting that's in there that you've been uncovering that we haven't touched on so far?
I want to just reiterate that when we're showing the trade or whatever, I'm seeing in the chat that it's, you know, it's the null stuff. Every region in EVE for trade, apart from regions in null where, say, Horde had relocated during the blackout period, every other region in EVE had a drop in trade of around 15 to 20%. So we're talking low sec regions, high sec regions, as well as the sov null space. So it was not just a null problem, and it can't be explained by just null sec guys don't like the no local. It was also that it was delayed for a couple of months, like the trough, the very bottom, only hits in September. It seems that people lost faith and now they are starting to come back, because Team Talos are, as you've been saying, really doing some good things, we hope. They're going to have a chance to shake the game up a bit. And people are starting to come back. And I saw in chat there was someone that said that they stopped doing T2 production and now they're starting it up again. So, yeah, it is picking up. I don't want to sound super negative, but it's just that people need to understand why it's coming back so slowly and why 30,000 people logged in the middle of winter when it was 37, 38,000 last winter is not like such a big thing.
I'm going to be extremely negative. Go ahead.
That's the thing. Guys, this is not just a GURP blackouts bad thing. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the whole point of what we're talking about. The point is that if you're wandering around and you feel like there's a malaise in New Eden right now, then you're right. And the data shows that. And it's because we have not bounced back from the levels that we saw last year. And the big thing that happened this year that really made everybody unhappy was the blackout. That and it wasn't because they change mining anomalies or because they change bounties or anything like that. I mean, we could pull up the numbers for bounties. You look at this, you can see the numbers, even with the anom nerf, it was going down. Bounties dropped after Blackout almost precipitously, and now they're still barely what they
haven't
were.
Recovered. Even with, they're not there. That's they're an not ugly there. Fucking chart. Look at that. Leave that up for a little bit there. So yeah, we have actually labeled some of these things here, or by we, I mean, I think Reaver did the work on this. I assume anom nerf, the various changes that have happened so far. Yeah, the game is just, it's just not back to where it needs to be. It is getting better. But the other thing I want to actually, Briss, sorry, I'm so eager to be all ranty, but I will come over the top and actually attack the people in chat who are whining about the idea that I said the Blackout was the worst thing to happen to EVE since Incarnate, right? Keep in mind, a lot of people who subscribe to EVE with real money do it on a 3-month subscriber basis. So one of the reasons why you saw this sort of delayed action thing from the Blackout bullshit is that people, when they say that they're unsubbing, you know, in many cases, it takes 3 months before their unsub turns up in any capacity. That's point number one. Point number two is the evidence is overwhelming, absolutely overwhelming on a number of different charts, layers, factors, player popularity, whatever. If you are still a Blackout holdout, if you are one of these people who is coming to our chat channel and going, oh, the null people are mad about Blackout, but in reality, they're just, you know, whiny people that didn't like their local, blah, blah, blah. You're kind of like an anti-vaxxer in EVE now. You're basically at that level. All of the evidence that is based upon numbers, math, business reality, actual gameplay, everything shows Blackout fucking sucked shit. It was horrible for the game. The evidence shows it was horrible for the game. And if you are one of these people who is like a last held out, like a cool kid, oh, well, I really liked Blackout. You know, if you don't like Blackout, you're just one of these people, like, you know, fuck off. Like, look at the fucking numbers. Accept the fact, or don't, actually. The important point is this. At this point, somebody who is going to be a Blackout truther on any channel or any show that I'm involved in is going to be treated as if they were, you know, an anti-vaxxer or 9/11 truther or whatever. Like, there's the fucking numbers. That's the reality of what happened. Blackout went in, people stopped playing the game, they stopped trusting the company, and they're still not back on areas that have nothing even to do with NullSec. Because it was such a series of bad changes, poorly communicated, that had shattered the confidence of the player base in the game. So I am not going to be accepting ever of people who are going to go, oh, well, you know, the Blackout was actually good, because you have been proven wrong. You lost, your side lost. The idea was poorly implemented. It nearly killed the game. You are not some sort of cool kid rebel who's saying, you know, fuck you to the NullSec man. Actually, you just suck. And if you're still advocating for a Blackout or something like that, it's because you're an idiot and should not be in charge of anything, at least EVE Online related. So high fives all around. And if me saying that makes you super angry, just wait until we show you more charts and graphs proving why you are wrong if you are still a champion of this failed program that nearly killed the game. Because that's what you're doing. If you're still championing stuff like Blackouts, you're going, in spite of all of the evidence, it's like being a climate change denier as well. Being an
I was waiting for you to use that reference
being
there.
Anti-climate change. Like, Australia is on fucking fire. Get with the program, you idiots, right? Like, seriously, same deal. Omeka Gold and all these guys, oh, well, I'm a cool, like, low-sec guy. Blackout was really good. Choke on these charts, people. If you think that you're all big onto like science and rationality and actually being good at math and EVE Online, if you look at the fundamentals of the economy, if you look at what Blackout did to this video game and you are still all in favor of it and trying to shift blame on somebody else, you're just a fucking idiot. Like, your opinion on that point, until you can come over the top and show evidence or something that shows that these charts or these things are not related to the Blackout, you're just a whiny little bitch who lost. And that's how it is. Sorry, I need to shake things up a bit. It's an economics show. I'm going to go on a rant.
There we go. You got your rant. We just did it in the middle of the show this time. Look, I would like to reiterate everything Mitten said, and then I will just put a slightly more Brisk-like face on it. I like the Blackout. I had fun in it. I thought it was cool. We had a good time, and we got to go out. We got some fights we otherwise wouldn't have gotten. But I can't sit here and say that it was good for the game, because that would be bullshit, because it wasn't. And anybody that's sitting there, you may have had personally had fun, but everybody else in the game said, well, fuck this, I'm going to go play WoW. They didn't want to play. They didn't want to log in. And the result is now we have to deal with the fallout from that. And we're not, whether we want to sit here and bitch about it for another 15 shows, it doesn't matter. The reality is this is the world as we know it, and it is because of Blackout. So now we have to figure out how do we get back where we were. And that's the worst part for me, because I absolutely hate it when all we have to do is sit around here playing defense all the time. And that's how I view this. We're trying to get our player numbers. We're trying to get the content levels back to what they were before. I don't want to see that. I want to see it above and beyond, way, way better than it ever was. I want to stop hearing people talk about how great 2013 and 2014 was, because that's 6 years ago. That's 7 years ago. I want to hear what it's going to be like in 2 or 3 years. I want to say, hey, the best for the game is coming because we've made all of these changes to make the game better, and it's arguably a much more polished product, much more interesting things to do, a lot of major changes that needed to happen from 2013, but we have half the players that we had back then. Was the game better then? Demonstrably not, but we have more, and there are way more reasons for us to be able to be out there doing what we're doing now than there were back then, but the numbers are not there, and we need to figure out why and see if we can fix that. And I think, frankly, it's not just something CCP has to do, it's something that the players have to do. So we can sit around here and talk and debate about Blackout, and you guys can bitch at us and say, oh, it was really good, you guys are full of shit. But the reality is, it damaged the game, and we're still trying to fix the damage. So I don't think we need to argue about, at least, I don't like to sit around arguing about facts. I'd rather have, I can argue with opinions, but when you guys are sitting there saying, that, oh, actually, what happened here, it didn't really happen, no, that's, we don't need that. This is not a fake news show. We're going to talk about real stuff. So
charts and graphs, evidence, right. Love it.
I got more chart. I got another chart yet. We haven't looked at mining.
Let's do it.
Let's look at mining.
Mining, good one. Let's do it. Let's see what happened there.
I mean, this is
wow.
This is crazy, and I just don't. Yikes. I don't get it. Like, mining is still almost at blackout levels, and it hasn't come back anywhere. And I know that they've made multiple changes to anomalies and excavators, and way Rourke walls are able to do what they do, and then they made their nonsensical redistribution of mining anomalies where they took Spud and Veldspar out of the belts in Nullsec, which had no impact because nobody mines the belts in Nullsec. They only belt rat for officer spawns. That's it. So in the end, this kind of freaks me out. Riv, I mean, what is going on with the mining? I don't understand this.
Okay, so there's a couple of things. Like with bounties that we saw just now, the numbers were falling before the blackout anyway, all year. There were graphs that I didn't give you that show the difference between the faucets and sinks in EVE during the year. And they show a similar thing, that from about February, March last year, the numbers, the bounties were falling, the mining activity was falling, and the difference between the faucets and the sinks in EVE was closing prior to the blackout. And then the blackout hit, and you see like a bump in July here. The bump in July is due to the Imperium.
I was coming home, I think. Yeah.
It's you doing moon mining. Yeah. Yeah. Basically, you came home and did moon mining. And you can see it on the daily breakdown because there's also a graph showing day by day trillions of ISK mined. And you can see when you went mining on this graph. But apart from that, once we get into August and September, it drops. But it's not as big a drop as the bounties were. The bounties fell off a cliff after the blackout, but mining was already on a downward trend, and it just continued going down when we hit the bottom in September, and now it's coming back up. I'm hopeful that the December numbers will be back to around the April numbers or so, and it's the same with bounties, and that I do think that they are going to start coming back up to spring numbers. I would hope so, but this is a ongoing problem. When CCP Quant started doing the MER back in 2015, he said that there had been a drop in PCU for the previous 3 years. So from 2012 to 2015, the PCU had been dropping. And he said people were concerned about this, but CCP were not concerned about this because there were the players that were logged in, each unique login was doing more mining and more trading than before. So they weren't worried because the players were being more active and they were contributing to the economy. This year, what we saw CCP say at the blackout is that the ISK was out of control and the ISK sinks had been falling all year. And so had the PCU. They were falling in tandem. But if CCP were worried about the amount of ISK in the system, then it implies that the active players were dropping faster than the forces were dropping. So it seems like we have a similar problem that they've had since 2012. Only now players are not as engaged in the game because there are now SP farms. So there are unique logins that happen to the game that are not contributing to the economy. They're not doing bounties and they're not doing PvP.
They're not in space at all.
Yeah, they're not in space. Yeah. And so that's possibly what CCP were concerned about, that the while the logins didn't seem to be falling super fast, the activity from players was. So that means you get the wealth concentrated among a smaller group of players.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm going to jump in here with a very vulgar analogy. And I like to use this analogy a lot because it's just an opportunity for me to make Caddyshack references, I guess. But it's time for kind of like how I have my bodybuilder analogy. Now we have the shitting in the pool analogy. So imagine EVE Online as a swimming pool that has all the players in the swimming pool. Blackout was CCP taking a dump in the swimming pool and everybody leapt out of the swimming pool and is staring at the swimming pool going, we want to be fucking swimming, but you idiots took a shit in the pool. Like, okay, we're gonna get rid of the shit in the pool. And now, to be fair, everybody's back in the pool, but instead of people actually like swimming or splashing or doing whatever it is, if you hypothetically got a bunch of E players in a pool, which is actually just a really nasty idea if you think about it. I mean, we do get to see some of that actually at the Blue Lagoon in Iceland, which haven't been to Iceland in a few years, so it'll be cool to be going to FanFest in a few months. But I think what's happened now is that essentially, everybody's back in the pool, but instead of actually swimming, everybody's just sort of standing around in the pool, kind of like, hey, we're here, but they're either worried that people are going to take another shit in the pool, they're looking to see who's going to start swimming first. It's this very, like, people are engaged more than they were during the shit in the pool blackout nonsense, but people haven't really, like, re-engaged to the level that they were before. And I think there is a path to victory here. Like, I want to be very clear. There's two parts to this. One is that I think it's important for people to acknowledge that there's a problem, and that there's a problem that is, not catastrophic. It's not the end of the world. It's not like, oh my God, EVE is dead or EVE is dying. EVE is actually recovering, and we can see that from the charts. I think the challenge is that people not understanding what's happening when they log on and they play the game and they look around and they see this. I think the path to victory is currently through the Team Talos process of, if we can get something every 2 weeks from people who are plugged in from the game, that's good. And also, the other part of the path to victory is to get more devs involved actually in NullSec and some of these other areas of the game that people consider to be broken, right? We need to get devs involved in this. We need to, sort of keep easing people back into the pool. And, CCP needs to show that they're not going to take another dump in the damn thing.
And your point right there, and Goonie's point about CCP not saying they'd never shit in the pool again, that's one of the problems, I think. The fact that they were willing to make such a massive change to the game on no notice and then just let it lie for a month and a half to see what happens, that rationally scared the shit out of a lot of people because they don't want to... When you're in a game like EVE, where everything takes time to do what you're doing, and you're trying to put together a career, or you're trying to put together things, and you've got goals and plans, and all right, I'm trying to mine to make a Titan, or I'm trying to raise this much money to buy this ship, or whatever, you don't want to have the rug pulled out from under you at the last minute where you're not even aware of it, and it just happens. That's the thing that I think it gets me back to communication in the beginning. And I know that a lot of people, and Dunk pointed out in the chat that CCP has said elsewhere that they want more surprises. I don't want any fucking surprises. I don't want surprises. I don't like being surprised. I like to know and be able to plan ahead of time for stuff. I don't find anything fun about surprises.
It's a strategy game. It's not fucking Calvin Ball, for God's sakes.
Right, exactly. You know, we don't need to change the damn rules every 5 seconds just to change it up to make people have to solve the new problem. Because one thing that this community has learned and done over time very well is you change the meta and we'll figure the new one out in a week. And then it's the new meta until you change it again. There's nothing fun about that. It's the equivalent of, and I will be boat today. I will use a World War II reference. It's the equivalent of the Germans changing their Enigma codes. And then, it's going to take Bletchley Park like a day to figure out the new codes. And then they're going to have them. And then they're going to have to do it and change it again. They just got to keep doing it. But in the end, we're going to read what you sent because we're going to figure it out. So what's the difference? It doesn't provide any benefit. So as long as the meta works and it's fun and people are like, this is one of the reasons why the Boosh thing drove me crazy. That was a good mechanic that people could use. It was one of the few ways that you could go out and fight under a super umbrella. And it was usable by everybody. It was not perfect. It was only perfected by a few. And there were counters to it. And everybody knew that. It was a fun part of the meta. And now it's gone. And there's been nothing to replace it. So in the end, when they're making these changes, just changes for the sake of change drives me crazy because it doesn't evince to anybody that there's some kind of higher end thinking being applied to this stuff. It's just, well, I'm going to push this button and see what happens. I'm going to push this button and see what happens. Nobody wants to play a game where you don't know if the shit's going to work the day you want to play it. That's not how it is. So that's what frustrates me with the lack of communication and all of this surprise-based mechanics, because I don't know, maybe it's because I'm old. You know, I'm 42. I'm not as young as I used to be. I don't want to wake up and go downstairs and decide I want to play Eve today and then jump in the game and not know something happened and I'm looking at my ship, but why is all my stuff offline and then I die? Well, that sucks. I didn't even know. That's not fun. That's not fun for anybody. And it might be fun for the guys that kill me for the first 5 minutes, but after a while, I'm going to stop logging in and then they're not going to kill me anymore. That's not fun anymore. So that's the problem. I think we got to stop. This whole surprise thing is just bad. I don't like it.
I want to sort of step back here. And, you know, one of the things that I am sort of sympathetic towards CCP and all of the game companies right now that are trying to straddle this communication issue, because it is a real question. Back when I was growing up, you know, basically forums were a much bigger deal in the early adopter phase of the internet, right? And now game forums across the board are used less than like subreddits or Twitter, or, you know, are you supposed to be posting things on Facebook or social media or on the official forums or on Reddit or what? Like, where are the players? Where should you be communicating? You know, it's a confusing thing, and very few game companies have really kind of gotten it right. I mean, I'm sure there are examples of ones that have gotten it right. Certainly, I think that prioritizing, you know, there needs to be like one central place, but we see CCP doesn't have a coherent communication strategy. And that's understandable because there has been turnover in their, you know, in their community team, right? Like CCP Convict is sort of like picking up the mess that's been left behind. And he's sort of got to get into whatever new groove there is. So, I mean, it is a real challenge. Like, how do you communicate with a player base of any game in the year of our Lord 2020 in the aftermath of a colossal fuck up like Blackout, right? Like, how do you clean up that mess? And so I'm sympathetic towards that. Like, I think that things are headed in the right direction. And I think it's going to be easier for us to get there if we all, you know, for example, if you have a fucking broken leg, and you go, okay, I have a broken leg. I'm going to put it in a cast. If I got to go to physical therapy, I'll go to therapy. Whatever it is you got to do when you break your leg, if you take it seriously, go, oh, well, I'm in pain because my leg is broken. This makes sense. Step one is to acknowledge that you have an issue and then work through it. I think that as a player base, Eve will continue to go in the right direction as long as instead of going, oh, it's this person's fault, you know, oh, it's this guy's fault, oh, it's Olmeca's fault, oh, it's this person's fault, whatever, we go, okay, look, shit's fucked for a bit. It's getting better, but let's set our expectations accordingly that we are essentially a player base and a community in a period of convalescence after a very serious, potentially mortal illness that we got over. So, you know, isn't this... So actually, one of the things, we haven't really gone into Cool Kids Club today. Sorry about that, because there's a lot of people who are not subscribers that are paying attention today, and it's a crunchy issue, and I don't want to like exclude non-subscribers for this one today. So I don't know if anybody's pissed off about that or not. You can let us know and yell at us. But, you know, I think this is, we need to confront the data. You know, we need to, as it were, we need to unite behind the science, and the science is reflected in the charts that Reaver came to the table with today. So I actually want to shift things over to her again and say, is there anything that we have, any sort of final words on the topic or anything that you think that we have missed? I'm just going to hand the floor to you, Reaver, and say, what should we be thinking about? Is there anything else we should be watching out for? Is there something that we've missed?
No, I don't think, I think we're going to be watching the December MER, which is now overdue. I'm expecting to see a peak in the destruction because the filaments were out in December and everyone loved filaments. They were a lot of fun for people going around exploding stuff in Null. I'm also expecting that as traders and that have started trickling back, and with the Christmas period and everyone off work, we'll see some pickup. What I'm going to be watching for mostly is the January MER, because January is traditionally the highest point of logins in the year. So we will see what happens there. But I think that you guys have covered it pretty much.
The one thing that I do want to, I want to throw the last, because we're running out of time, and I want to throw the last chart that we have up. And the reason I want to throw it up is because I feel like...
Let's do it. Let's go over. Let's see the chart.
This is the one chart that I feel kind of happy to see. And that's the destruction chart. And if you notice, despite, even during blackout, at the very end of blackout, I mean, during the peak of blackout in August, that was the one month where we had, you know, blackout was the entire month. July and September were partials. Destruction has been pretty solid, and we're starting to see destruction moving up again. So that makes me happy. That's a good thing. Now, but what I will say is if you take this destruction chart and you look at it and you compare it with the bounties and you compare it to the mining and you compare it to the trade, what that tells me is that we're going to start seeing inflation here pretty quickly, or actually I would say deflation here. We're going to start seeing price spikes pretty quickly because we're not replacing the stuff that's being destroyed fast enough. And that's going to mean the prices are going to start going up. So I think, and I, you know, I haven't, I'd have to look at the data and try to put it together, but when bounties are down, people have less ISK. When mining is down, people are having less materials to build with. So they're building less. That means everything's going to start getting more expensive. So I think we got to keep an eye on that, because I think that maybe in 2 or 3 months, that's what we're complaining about next. Why does everything cost so much? So we'll see. But I mean, at the very least, that tells me activity is okay, at least in terms of blowing stuff up.
Yeah, like I would be happy to see prices go up. My concern really is more is the deflation. Like I really don't, like one of the reasons I wanted to get in front of the whole, hey guys, great recession kind of thing is provide a model and a framework. Because one of my fears is that if we didn't basically publicize this information as far and wide as we can, you know, we don't want to see like a market panic. Like if Plex starts crashing at more than it is and people are like, oh my God, you know, game dead or whatever, when in reality you might just see, you know, less ships being produced. So prices go down because there's actually so much supply in these stockpiles that aren't being used as much because there aren't any big wars blowing up spaceships as much, et cetera, et cetera. I think that we're in a much more stable position as long as people realize that we're in this dodgy sort of place. Now, checking comments here for a second. Yeah, I think that's I think that's good. I think that's basically it from me on this topic.
All right, well, guys, we are out of time. We're actually a little bit over time. So we want to thank you all for joining us today. Again, it's Saturday, so it is the Meta Show. We look forward to seeing you guys next week, and thanks for being here. You stay classy, New Eden.
Cheers, guys.